Welcome to The Hitch, the podcast about navigating life's challenges on the road.
Hi.
Hi.
So it is
December
and
burr.
It is chilly.
Emphasis on the burr.
Man, it is a cold, one. We have had a cold November.
It's gray. It's so gray right now.
Yeah. I think back to when we were in Longmont, Colorado,
and
it was like 104 degrees.
So
and
just the other day, I was thinking about how I was in a Target parking lot in Longmont, and it was like 100, and like you're saying, like 104, and I just remember being like, I can't take the heat anymore, like trying to get the kids out of the car and dealing with everything. And we are not there.
No, now we're in Target parking lots, and it's like 15 degrees, and it's icy. But yeah, we wanted to somehow get ourselves at least mentally back into the trailer. And a few episodes ago now, probably a month or more ago, we did a two-part series on how we bought our trailer. You know, what we looked at, how we arrived at it, you know, all of it. And we heard from a few people after that with follow-up questions. And one of them was Liz in Chicago, who asked a bunch of questions specifically around kind of how we bought our Airstream. Mm-hmm. And Airstream related questions. When we did the original How to Buy a Trailer, we made it a lot more generalized. And since we drive around in an Airstream, obviously there are some Airstream related questions that we can be answering too. So we thought we'd take a crack at those.
Mm-hmm. Liz asks, what were some of the factors you used to select the Flying Cloud, which is the specific model that we have?
Yeah.
And then she asks, is there anything now that you have lived in it for some time that you wish you had considered that you did not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were very happy to get the Flying Cloud because that's the model. That's the type of Airstream that we really wanted to get. We felt like it fit our family the best.
Yeah.
And Airstream has like, I don't know, 6 or 7 different models.
Yeah.
Something like that. And many of them share very similar floor plans.
Right.
Because Airstreams,
I mean, at the end of the day, they are all built in the same metal tube, you know.
Well, and they don't have like pop outs and things like that. So the sizes that you're dealing with are pretty standard. But the main differences between the different models are the finishes.
Yeah.
Like what the what the countertops are made out of, like how fancy are the finishes, what are the colors? Some of them have like special designs like the Tommy Bahama.
Yeah, which, oof.
Well, you know what? Some people love it and that's great, but it wasn't for us.
No.
We wanted a more simple interior, one that felt a little bit more conducive to like dogs and kids and dirt and just madness that is our lives.
And affordability.
And affordability,
you know, like,
that's true.
The bottom of the line is the Sport, which is sort of where we started looking originally, but the Sport's only available in 2 floor plans.
Right.
And they're both pretty small.
They're both pretty small.
One of them is very small, 16 feet. The other one, I think, is 22 feet. And the Flying Cloud is like the next level up. And post Flying Cloud, you're really getting into
some real fancy stuff.
Yeah. And the Flying Cloud also has the most floor plans
that
you can choose from.
It has the most floor plans. There's a lot of options. There's options for bunks. There's options for, you know, different configurations of all sorts of things. It has the most variability, I think, between any of the models.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when we bought our Airstream, we bought it used, so we just bought what they had.
But
it turns out that's actually exactly what we wanted.
Right.
So it worked out great for us.
Yeah.
But
we had spent a lot of time looking at floor plans, thinking about our family, thinking about what would fit. We really had arrived at 27 feet, felt like the right footage, and, you know, a bedroom for us and the kids sleep on the furniture, you know, the converted furniture.
The couch and the dinette.
Like, that was really kind of where we were, where we had landed. And then suddenly that was exactly what was available.
Yeah, then it kind of landed in our laps. But it, you know, I it's so important to go inside of them and to really feel what it feels like inside. Because I remember, and this was back before we got our new SUV, we had our minivan. And so we were really hoping to just be able to find one that we could tow with the minivan. Yeah. Well, the only one that we could is like the little tiny 16 foot. And we went in there like, maybe we could do it. It's also the cheapest one because it's the smallest. And we walked in and immediately was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's like no way.
It was surprisingly,
small. Now, if you're one or two people and, you know, you're not maybe not living in there full time, that might be great.
Right.
You know, but it's one of those things where I looked at it online. I thought about the measurements. You know, everything seemed great until actually walking in there. So that is such an important part of it. And that's how we came to decide which model we wanted, is by going in, looking at the finishes. Like, some of them have like all these busy patterns and stuff, and we're like, no thanks. But like, I mean, really only the Tommy Bahama is the only one.
Oh boy.
You know what? Some people love it.
Okay.
But for us, we're like, oh, and then they have that special like national parks one too. That one felt
that
very
one like a limited edition.
Yeah, and very expensive.
Yeah.
But also seemed way too busy to me as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's always the best thing to do is go and walk around, and basically that's what got us to where we wanted to be. So in terms of like, is there anything that wish we had considered that we did not? Not yet.
Not in terms of livability.
Yeah.
Or
layout or anything.
We had really thought about that stuff
a lot. I mean, I guess if we were just really like dreaming big, like larger tanks would be nice so you don't have to dump and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that's not
that,
a thing. That's a
learning more than
that's
it is.
That's true. And it's not an option to have bigger tanks in an Airstream. So, I mean, some RVs will have like really big tanks.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting that couple that we met in Colorado in Lyons.
Like a 70-gallon tank or something.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, that'd be nice. But you know what? Whatever. Nah. Yeah, it's fine.
But no, I mean, I think that we really had thought a lot about kind of what we wanted. So in terms of like, oh, we've lived in it for a while, and is there something that it's like, oh, we should have gotten the 29-footer.
I feel like this is a good size. And
I am surprised, like when we went to kind of do a final clean out before winterizing it, like how much storage there is in it.
There is a lot of storage.
We didn't even use it all this summer. Like, we kind of didn't realize how much storage was underneath our bed, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of storage.
And so we actually have room to grow in it, which is nice.
Which is great. Yeah. So she's also wondering recommendations on websites and, you know, what do we search for when we were looking online? And I think we may have mentioned this in another episode briefly, some of the ones, but Airstream Classifieds and RV Trader are the two main ones.
Yeah.
The Airstream one obviously is limited to just Airstreams. And that's nice. You can also limit within that site to like older, you know, really old ones or newer ones.
You can put model years.
You can put models in there. Like, I got to the point where I would search for Flying Cloud, you know, above a certain year. But if you're looking for really vintage ones, if you're looking for a remodeling job, that kind of thing, it's a great place to find those. But you can also, like, once you know the length and the model, you can just search for that. And, like, whatever used will pop up. And then finding local dealers. I mean, I didn't think about this before we bought our trailer. But, like, now that we, you know, if you have a good dealer, you end up kind of having a relationship with them. I mean, best case scenario, you have a good relationship with them because you do need to do maintenance.
Yep.
And, you know, that's where you buy stuff that you need for your trailer. Mm-hmm. And so you have a good relationship with them. And now that I know what I know about that, how important that is, I also realize, you know, go to a dealer even before you have a trailer.
Yeah.
Talk to them about, you know, find a good salesperson. Talk to them about what you're looking for. And if that comes in, because they do get trade-ins.
Right.
When they come in, they can just give you a call. I mean, it saves them. They don't have to advertise whatever. It saves you because Airstreams go really fast, used ones. So it's like, I've thought about that a lot. Like, wow. I mean, I would definitely recommend finding a dealer, visiting them, you know, keeping in touch and letting them know, hey, if you get this this model, this size used between these years, let me know.
Yeah. And I think in terms of you know, as we said before, like looking at the floor plans and stuff like that, like the Airstream website is actually a really good website for a RV place,
right?
Because
a lot of them
websites are trash, right? Like the manufacturers, their websites are really, really bad.
Yeah.
Airstream's is really good, and one of the things that's good about it is like there is a very clear floor plans for every single, you know, permutation, including things like the Flying Cloud, where there's like 15 different floor plan options, and you can see them all. And at least, you know, especially if you kind of couple that with having gone into a few different ones and understand the sizes, you can actually get a pretty good mental model of what they'll look like. Because the thing is that, you know, especially if you're buying used, you're really up to what's available more than what's on, you know, every possible floor plan. But even if you were buying new, a dealer doesn't have them all.
Right.
Often, if you really want something specific, they're going to place the order and it's going to be custom made essentially for you. You know, it unless you're just buying what's on the lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend, you know, starting your kind of dreaming stage at those floor plans and then starting to look at what's available used and things
seeing
like
what's
that.
Used. I also found it helpful, like looking at the Airstream classifieds, like looking at different eras of Airstreams, because I would see a really good deal. You know, I'd see a picture and it'd be like from, you know, 1995 or whatever. And I would be like, oh my God, this is such a good deal. We can afford this. And then I would look at the inside and be like, what?
Yeah, the late 80s and early to mid 90s were not a good time.
So, I mean, unless you're really going to invest some money in renovating the interior, it's really important to look at the interiors and understand like what their design was at the time, because they kept they've had consistent, beautiful exterior design, but the interiors have had some bad eras. There have been some bad times, so it's good to just kind of familiarize yourself with what decades you're good with, and then just exclude those or include those, you know, depending on what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
But getting to know your dealer, and you know, she also asked, you know, do you see Airstreams at other dealers? Not usually.
No.
I mean, a few times when we've been driving this summer, we've seen a few because they stand out and we'll be like, oh, look, there's one, you know, in a lot. But I would say most of the time they are just at Airstream dealers.
Right.
Or sold by an individual, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you will occasionally see used ones at our, you know, big RV lots because, you know, if you're living somewhere that doesn't have an Airstream dealer and you want to sell it, I think that's probably your best option. But that's a real needle in a haystack situation.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, we've gone to so many and never seen Airstreams. I mean, we did notice a few when we were driving across the country this summer, but really, I mean, it's, if you're waiting on that, you might be waiting
a long time,
way too long. But she also asks if there's dealers specifically in this area, and this is just for people in this area, but
Chicago area.
But we recommend where we go, which is Ewald's up in Franklin, Wisconsin. It's only about an hour and 15 minutes from the north side of Chicago.
Yeah, it's like 15, 20 minutes away from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit southwest, really I think, of Milwaukee.
You know, they've been great. They've done a bunch of work for us. And George, in particular, is amazing.
George Vinyevich, I think, is his last name.
Yeah. I love George. So if you go there, Liz,
Ask for George. There is another Airstream dealer in the western suburbs, I think Naperville or somewhere area.
Kind of way out west.
And I think that this is true for anyone in any city. The Airstream dealer is not right downtown. You know, it is always going to be an hour or something out of town.
I mean, same thing with storage places, you know, for your trailers too. You're not going to find anything.
And it's generally true with RV dealers in general. They're just not in the city. But Airstream dealers, it seems like, you know, there's sort of one outside of any major city. Some bigger cities might get two. You get to have a little mini road trip on your way to the Airstream dealer to go look at Airstreams.
Yeah, and the one in Wisconsin, you can always swing into Milwaukee and get some good brats. Yeah. And
you sure can.
It's always, we always make a point to like swing into Milwaukee when we go there. She also asks, Liz is wondering about financing.
Yeah.
And this is a real nuts and bolts question, but it's actually pretty interesting. I hope for lots of people, because it was interesting for me to learn about it. It's not what I expected.
Yeah. It's not a car loan. It is a mobile home loan. Mm-hmm. And the way that it is actually treated is it's a home, you know? And so you actually get it. It qualifies tax wise. If you own a home, it qualifies as your second home. If you rent a home and you buy an RV, I'm not sure what the qualification is.
Yeah,
there.
I don't know.
Now that I think about it, but I mean, I certainly know people that rent and own a place to live, but I'm not sure. But it basically gives you the ability to take the interest off of your taxes and things like that. Now, again, the tax laws have just changed and that's changed, and I haven't totally researched what the impact of that all is. But essentially, these are much longer term than a car loan, whereas a car loan is like 5 years or something. You know, we have 15-year loan, which means that our monthly payment is quite affordable.
Yeah.
It also means, just like a home loan, like, we're paying a lot of interest in those monthly payments.
Definitely.
But that's just how it works. We got our loan through our bank, which is, you know, sort of a larger bank. They actually had I knew that they offered it because they like had a pop-up on their website that was like, buying a motorhome, like get a motorhome loan or whatever. And so that was how we got it. Certainly every dealer
has financing
options as well. And
I mean, they would have to.
Lean into the whole, like, you can deduct your interest and all of that, because they want you to lock it, you know, to lock down and give them the extra money.
I mean, I'm sure it varies, but we have found both with buying cars and with our trailer that it is a lot cheaper and a better deal to go through our bank.
Yeah.
We also have a pretty great bank, I feel like, but I do think it tends to be cheaper to go through your own bank. Just take the time to step out. And, you know, we even did it, like, we went and saw the trailer first and we even put a deposit down, I think. And then, you know, they're always trying to get you to do the financing through them. But we were like, you know what, we're going to go check with our bank.
Yeah.
And it was a better deal. But obviously, you know, shop around and see what you can get. But we found that to be the case that most of the time.
Yeah. And also there's even just a level of simplicity, you know, because it is our bank, and that they're also where we get our auto insurance from. And so
it
was very easy to kind of roll it all in together and it's all one place and don't have to deal with anything beyond that. But it's worth researching the kind of tax implications and things like that, because it isn't an auto loan. And it is important to remember that part. It is actually viewed by the IRS as some level of home loan.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't realize that. That was kind of a surprise. But it does make it so that your monthly payments are not quite as terrible
as they would be.
I mean, I can't imagine paying off
an Airstream
in like 5 years. That's just even a used one. That's basically it. For now. She had a few additional questions that I think we're going to save for another time.
Yeah, they were a little more generalized. Learning questions.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they're a little bit different, and so we're gonna save those for another time. But I hope this has been useful to you, Liz, and to anybody who's interested in getting an Airstream.
And if you have questions about
anything,
buying trailers,
really,
living in trailers, driving trailers, road tripping in general, anything, we are happy to answer them.
Yeah, we love to talk about it, especially in these cold months when we're locked inside.
Yeah, help us
escape
too.
Dreaming about it. Yeah. I know. Just the other day, I was like, I'm going to start researching campgrounds.
Yeah.
I kind of am like, okay, just chill until like January when I really need it. But I'm like, no, I'm going to start looking.
Yeah.
I'm going to start plotting new routes and things like that.
Your questions help us get on the road in our brains too. So please go ahead and hit us up. You can email us at evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com, or you can send a DM via Instagram at tincanevangeline. And I'm Dan Sinker.
I'm Janice Dillard.
And we'll see you on the road.